Well, if you have your Bibles, would you open up with me to the Gospel of Luke? Luke is the third book of the New Testament. New Testament begins Matthew, Mark, then we come to the Gospel of Luke. If you need a Bible, the ushers are handing them out right now. If you need one, just raise your hand, and they'd love to bring you a copy. And we'll get there in just a moment. Well, last week, we started a two-week series in which we are looking at the call of Christ. That as we enter into this new year, we're taking a moment to remind ourselves of what we have been called to as believers in Jesus Christ. We're taking a moment as we enter into this brand new year to remind us of the life that we are to live as believers in Jesus Christ. You know, I imagine for most of us, when we think about our identity in Christ, we probably run pretty quickly to our salvation in Christ. We think about the fact that in Christ our sins have been forgiven. We think about the fact that in Christ we have been given the righteousness of Christ. That in Christ we have been made new creations. That in Christ there is no condemnation. That in Christ nothing can separate us from the love of God. That in Christ, after we experience our physical death, life doesn't stop, but that we get to live eternally with Christ. I mean, that's where our hope is, right? I mean, that's where our hope is firmly and deeply rooted. But as we think about our salvation in Christ, may we never, ever, ever, ever forget that that salvation comes with a call to follow Christ, a call to imitate Christ, or in other words, who we are in Christ should reflect how we live every day, every month, every year in Christ. And so in Luke chapter 9, Jesus is reminding his disciples and therefore reminding us of what we have been called to. And so this morning, we're going to once again look at the call of Christ. And my desire is this, that this call that Christ puts upon all who would come after him, all who place their faith in him, they just wouldn't be Bible words. Religious words. They'd be words that pierce us, words that challenge us, words that propel us to Christ. And so would you turn with me to Luke chapter 9, and I'm going to read beginning in verse 23. These are the words of Jesus. It says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" And so last week, we looked at verse 23 in which Jesus calls us to do two things, to deny ourselves and then to take up our cross daily and follow him. You know, the idea of denying ourselves, it's the idea of laying down our will for the will of Christ. And as we all know, that can be a challenging thing to do. And what can happen is we can spend our lives within this battle of what I want and what God wants. And when I'm in this constant tug of war of what I want and what God wants, then what happens is I'm not really following Christ. Which is why Jesus gives us this very graphic picture of taking up our cross. It's a picture of death. It's a picture of a life that is about to die. And what Jesus is saying is that if we're going to pursue the will of Christ and not our own will, then it requires something of us. It requires that we are intentionally, daily putting our will to death. You know, in my weekly email this past week, I shared four practical ways for us to take up our cross. And if you haven't read that, I encourage you to go and open that up and read it. And if you're not getting those emails, I really encourage you to sign up for that. It's just a way that I want to make sure that we're not just hearing a message on Sunday and then walking away, but that we're hearing the Word of God and we're living it out. You can go to villagechurch.com/Horch. It's my last name, H-O-R-C-H, and you can sign up there. And so Jesus continues with his call to us in verse 24. And he says this. He says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." You know, this is one of those intriguing statements of Jesus. And actually, it's one that he uses often. In fact, it's the most often used expression of Jesus found throughout the Gospels, which tells us something about how important and how significant this statement is. And what makes this statement so intriguing is that it's a paradox, meaning that it's a statement that runs contrary to our expectations. And when something happens that is contrary to what we were expecting to happen, it kind of gets our attention, right? We're expecting one outcome and another outcome happens and we have to stop and pause and say, what just happened there? I wasn't expecting that to happen. And that's exactly what Jesus is hoping that we will do here. That if the words or the phrase denying yourself doesn't jar us and cause us to stop, if the idea of taking up your cross doesn't jar us and cause us to stop, then maybe this will. That Jesus says, whoever would save his life, hey, he's going to lose it. And we're going to stop and go, wait, what is he talking about? And so what is Jesus saying? Well, there's two aspects of what Jesus is talking about. First, I believe he's talking about the salvation of our souls. That you can be someone who chooses not to trust in Jesus for your salvation. And that you can spend your 60, your 70, your 80 years here on earth simply just kind of building your own life. Just kind of living it for whatever seems good, looks good to you, and then you die, and what happens? You end up losing your life by spending life forever separated from God in a very real place called hell. That's one aspect of what it means to lose your life, or to save your life now, and then to eventually lose it later. But I also believe that Jesus is talking to those who are believers in Jesus Christ. In verse 23, he talks about an act that a disciple does daily, taking up their cross. He's talking about what it looks like to live as a believer in Jesus Christ every single day. And so as we look at verses 24 through 25, I want us to look at them in the context of what he is calling a Christian to do. I want us to look at it in the context of what your life as a believer in Jesus Christ should look like. And so what does it look like for a Christian to live life and they're actually trying to save their life? Well, this word save here literally means to keep safe and sound. It's the idea of rescuing something from danger. It's the idea of protecting and guarding your own life. Now, on the surface, that seems like a good thing to do, right? I mean, isn't it a good thing to try to keep our lives from danger? Isn't it a good thing that we want to keep our life safe and sound? I mean, if you're a parent, isn't one of your prayers, is God, please protect them today? You go on a trip, you hop in the car, and you're going to go far away. God, please protect us. Keep us safe and sound. And in fact, when Scripture gives wisdom to us, it gives wisdom to how to take care of ourselves physically and emotionally, and even how to be wise with our financial assets. The Bible doesn't call us to live foolishly. The Bible doesn't call us to live carelessly. So what is Jesus saying? Well, I think to understand what it means to save our own lives, we need to think about that phrase in the context of what Jesus just said in the previous verse. He calls us not to follow our own desires, our own will, but rather to follow the desires and the will of Christ. And so saving my life
It is choosing not to sacrificially follow Christ, but rather to keep myself safe and sound from the consequences of following Christ. You see, when we follow Christ, when we respond to the call of Christ, Scripture says that we will experience something. Suffering, pain, hardships. This past week, I was reading through 2 Corinthians. It's a book that gives us an insight into the many ways that the Apostle Paul suffered for the sake of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul tells us of some of the pain and the hardships and the suffering that he experienced as he was pursuing Christ and proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Listen to what he says. He says, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I faced danger from my own people, the Jews as well as the Gentiles. I faced danger in the cities and the deserts and on the seas. I faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. See, these all came as a consequence of Paul choosing to deny himself, take up his cross and follow Jesus. At any time, Paul could have simply said, I don't want it anymore. I don't want the suffering anymore. I don't want to have to be experiencing this pain anymore. I just want a simple life in which no one's trying to kill me. I just want a simple life in which no one's trying to hurt me and persecute me. I just want a nice home, a safe home in a good neighborhood, nothing too fancy. I just want a job where I can provide for myself. I just want to live a life in which I am safe and sound. Maybe be part of a nice church where I get to teach Sunday school, or maybe lead a small group in my home. Paul wasn't living for himself. He wasn't living to try to build a safe and sound life. He wasn't simply trying to pursue his own comfort. Paul tells us in Galatians 2:20 about how he viewed his life in this world. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, he's talking about in this physical body, in this physical world. He says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. See, what Paul knew is that life as a believer in Jesus Christ is not preserving this or this. It's not trying to just be safe and sound. Rather, he understood the call of Christ. It was to deny yourself. It was to take up your cross so that it would be Christ and Christ alone who is at work in your life. And he knew that to follow Christ in this world required something. It would require suffering. It would require suffering in this physical world and in this physical bodies. And that's one of the realities for us. I mean, that is one of the realities for us who would come after Christ, is that we are called to suffer. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. 1 Peter 4:1 says, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. But you know what the challenge with suffering is? It hurts. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. And when we see Christ calling us into areas or into relationships for the sake of the gospel, which we see ahead, pain, and we see hardship, We have a tendency to run from those things and to save our own life, to keep it safe and to keep it sound. I think it happens all the time with us. We choose not to share the gospel because it might be embarrassing. It might be humiliating. It might be uncomfortable. And I think sometimes you just rather save our own reputation and follow Christ. Maybe God is calling you into a relationship for the sake of the gospel so that someone else could either know Christ or grow in their relationship with Christ. And you know that relationship is going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. Maybe you know that relationship is going to be emotionally overwhelming. It's going to be messy. And you can find yourself saying, I just don't need that in my life. And so we save our own life rather than following Christ. Or maybe you just sense that God is leading you to finally financially invest in someone or some ministry for the sake of Christ, but you also recognize that's going to take away from some things that you want. It's going to take away from that vacation that you want to go on, or take away from that thing you want to buy. And so at the end of the day, you weigh those things out and you just decide, I want this thing. And you take that rather than following Christ. You know, these are just some simple examples, but every day, every week, you and I are called to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow him into relationships, into areas that will require us living sacrificially for the sake of Christ. And too many times we choose the preservation of self, the preservation of comfort, the preservation of safe and sound, the preservation of, I got things under control here. Listen, as long as I have this wrapped in my own, I can kind of control these things. But this looks like it's going into an area that I may not be able to control these things. We can choose to save our own life rather than following Christ. And what happens is we can create a life of following Christ that actually involves absolutely no suffering. Missionary Amy Carmichael is a woman who endured many hardships and trials and suffering during her years. And she wrote this: no wound, no scar, yet as the master shall the servant be. And pierced are the feet that follow me, but thine are whole. Can he have followed far who has no wound or scar? You know, what Amy is making the observation is that some who claim to follow Christ but have no wounds, she asked the pointed question, how far did you really follow? How far did you really go, or did you just follow up to the point which you saw this was going to cost you something? And then you guarded your own life. I think far too many times Christ calls us into relationships and to things, and because of the risk, because of the sacrifice, because of the suffering, we just say no. Because we want to preserve safe and sound. But Jesus says that when we choose to preserve our own life rather than follow Jesus, we actually end up losing it. Now, in the context of the Christian, we're not losing our salvation. That is secure. Nothing can take us from the grip of the Father. But what are we losing? Well, we're losing the joy and the privilege of investing our lives in things that will produce eternal fruit for the kingdom of God. And at the end of our life, how much spiritual fruit was produced in your life, in my life, or are we just simply trying to be safe and sound? The Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now, others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. How sad would it be if we gave our lives to Christ and we knew our salvation was secure in Christ, but then what we gave our life to, what we invested our life in, what we invested our time and our energy and our resources in, ultimately ended up being in vain. That it bore no eternal fruit, that it had no eternal value, that on judgment day it was simply burned up. When you and I examine our lives, are we investing in things for the kingdom of God? Are we simply trying to live safe and sound? You know, we can be believers whose life is secure in Christ, but live lives on this earth that are meaningless. And may that never, ever be. May we never separate the salvation with the call. May we never separate who we are in Christ and how we live in Christ. And so Jesus continues his paradox and he says, but whoever loses his life for my sake, now those will save it. The losing of our life is the laying down of our will for the will of Christ. You know, if you and I are not proactively seeking to lose our life or to take up our cross daily, as Jesus says, if that's not intentional in our life, I think most likely what will be happening is we will unintentionally be trying to preserve our life. And we may not even know it. That we create a Christian lifestyle in which we're trying to be safe and sound. You go to church on Sundays, you read your Bible, you go to a small group, you may even simply follow, and you may now just simply be following a routine instead of actually following Christ. You may be picking up a Christian lifestyle rather than picking up your cross. You just may simply be living a good Christian life and not investing anything into the kingdom of God. And so it requires that when we look at the call of Christ, that we ask the question, am I denying myself? Am I taking up my cross daily? Am I trying to save my life, or am I, in Christ, losing my life for him? It's something that I have to wrestle with. It's something you have to wrestle with. If we don't, then we may find ourselves unintentionally simply trying to preserve a life in this world. Now, let me make a quick comment about what losing our life for the sake of Christ is not. Jesus is not saying that we're not wise with our life. He's not saying that we don't guard our time and our physical health and our emotional health. Jesus is not saying that we should never say no to ministry opportunities. Jesus is not saying that we never say no to relationships in our life. In fact, some of you here may need to say no more often in your life. Some of you here may be so quick to say yes to everything that you're just wearing yourself out. Not for the sake of Christ, you're just wearing yourself out. Losing your life for the sake of Christ is not about saying yes to everything. It's about saying yes to Jesus. Losing your life isn't about saying yes to everything that looks religious or looks Christian or involves a ministry. Losing your life for the sake of Christ is saying yes to Jesus. You know, when Jesus followed the will of the Father, he didn't heal everyone. When Jesus followed the will of the Father, he didn't teach every crowd. He didn't say yes to every opportunity before him. He often pulled himself away to be alone with the Father. He often pulled himself away to be alone with his disciples. His life wasn't saying yes to everything. His life was saying yes to the Father. Losing our life is not about being busy in ministry. Losing our life is about denying ourselves for the sake of Christ and then following Christ, regardless of the consequences. You see, we could actually be filling our life up with just a lot of good things. We could be filling our life up with a lot of ministry opportunities, a lot of church activities, and you know what? We could still be doing that by simply trying to save our own life. Jesus continues in verse 25 and says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Now, I do believe that the heart of this statement that Christ is making is to those who never surrendered their life to Christ. That they gained everything in this temporary world and then they lost their soul forever. And I would say, if you don't know Christ, you're sitting in this room, it's no mistake that you are sitting in this room, that Christ offers you a life beyond the life that you have in this world, that Christ is calling you to turn from your sin and place your faith and hope in him as the only one who can forgive your sins and give you eternal life. And if you are a follower of Christ in this room, please, 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 please hold loosely to the things of this world, because what is it really going to benefit you? If at the end of the day you end up living a life safe and sound and you produced very little fruit for the kingdom of God, oh, may we not waste our life. But may we see Christ fully at work in our life for his purposes, for his glory. Philippians chapter 3, Paul was examining the things in his own life. The things that he once thought was so valuable, so important, but now after coming to know Christ, he realized these things are meaningless. These things that once gave me such identity, these things in which I thought I was earning favor before God, he now realizes in Christ they were meaningless. Listen to these words. He says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, Paul writes, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. And then a couple verses later, he says, I want to know Christ. You know, this is the heart. This is the heart of Paul. I want to know him and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. You see, because it's there that we know joy. That when we lay down our life and we simply say, not my will, but yours. That's what I want. That's where joy is. You know, I think one of the great pictures of that sacrificial life and experiencing joy in that sacrificial life comes from Christ himself, where scripture says, for the joy set before him. And we think, I wonder what that joy is. Man, I wonder what that joy is that he's so excited to go forward into. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You go, how can there be joy in death? Because Christ knew what he was doing. He was going to defeat death. He was going to have the opportunity, provide the opportunity for your sins to be forgiven. So that you would know a life and a hope and a joy beyond the physical things of this world. May we be able to say, for the joy that is before us, we take up our cross and we follow Jesus. Wherever he goes, And it may bring some physical pain into our life. It may bring some suffering into our life. It may bring some hardship into our life, but we could say, all that stuff that I think I'm giving up, as in the words of Paul, it's garbage when compared to the treasure of knowing Christ. Village Church, that's my heart for us this year. That we would be able to look at our lives and say, have I just created a life that's safe and sound? Have I created a life that it's comfortable? Yes, finally, I just got all the pieces in place. It's comfortable. Or are we willing to take that life and say, here it is. Here it is. And if you call me to a season of comfort, to your glory. If you call me to a season of pain, to your glory. But I want to be where you are, because that's where you have called me to go. To deny myself, take up my cross, and go and follow you.